Sanitarium Family, and the Battle Creek Church. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, October 12, 1903. To the Sanitarium Family and the Battle Creek Church. The work that the believers in Battle Creek can do is at their hand. Let them distribute our literature. Let them make the most of every opportunity to arrest the attention of unbelievers. Let those who have been reproved for serving self rather than Christ arouse themselves and zealously repent. Let them put literature into every hand that will receive it, and let no one say, "Why do ye so?" In different ways, a warning message is to be borne to high and low. Let all put on the gospel armor and stand firm for the truth. My brethren and sisters, there will come to your city many who have never heard the truth for this time. These men and women may come from cities which, through your neglect, have never been warned. As they come to where you are, neglect not your duty. By wise, Christ-like movements, disappoint the enemy. Now is your opportunity, just now, to tell them of what is coming upon the world. In great wisdom, present the truth as it is in Jesus. During the summer, let a large tent be pitched in the most favorable location, and let a series of meetings be held. In behalf of those who come to Battle Creek, let us do everything in our power to magnify the law and make it honorable. Let the Lord God of Israel be exalted as the great medical missionary. Be earnest temperance workers. A decided warning is to be borne against intemperance. Many of the terrible crimes that are becoming so common in our world, many of the murders, the robberies, the railroad accidents that are so rapidly increasing, may be traced to the use of intoxicants. Many of the men and women who fill our insane asylums and prisons are there because of the influence of alcohol. And yet this cruel traffic, the fearful results of which may be seen on every hand, is legalized by the laws of the land, and Satan stands by exulting. God calls for an army to be formed against the sale of the drugged liquor that is making men mad. As yet, the contest has scarcely begun. Who will put forth a determined effort against this terrible evil? Soon we shall see its fearful results, as we do not see them now. Appeal to ministers of the gospel to set a worthy example. Plead with them to be temperate in all things. Ask them to reckon up how much of the Lord's money they have spent during their lifetime for tobacco. Do they realize that men formed in the image of God are daily using that which is paralyzing their reasoning faculties and robbing them of their power rightly to estimate eternal realities? No human being needs tobacco, but many human beings need the money spent for this health-destroying indulgence. Many men spend their hours in God-dishonoring ways, at the race course, in the gambling den. Thousands gather to witness a pugilistic contest, an exhibition of animalism revolting to him who gave his life to uplift and ennoble human beings. The record of the corruption in our cities cannot be traced by human pen. Political strife, bribery, fraud are seen on every hand. Men seem determined to rule or ruin. They are ready to ill-treat and even to kill those who will not be ruled by them. Who can doubt but that the evils which existed before the flood exist today? Poverty is created by wealthy men who form trusts controlling certain articles of merchandise and then sell these things at their own prices. And while the world is filled with these evils, the gospel is presented in a heartless, indifferent way that accomplishes very little good. I tremble for the men in positions of trust who put the wine glass to their lips. He who places himself under the influence of strong drink has for the time being destroyed his reason. He has lost the power of self-control, and he is not fitted to stand in a position of trust. How can the Lord of Heaven cooperate with such a man? Oh, that those who are rulers of nations would realize the responsibility resting upon them to be representatives of God, to set a right example, to shun the use of intoxicating liquor, that they may never be found off their guard. Judges, lawyers, senators should give evidence to those who look to them for guidance that they acknowledge themselves to be under the control of a supreme ruler, even Christ. They are to heed the invitation, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 29, 30. No man who ignores his obligations to God has succeeded or can succeed.
We are in this world to lift the cross of Calvary. As we lift this cross, we shall find that it lifts us. Let every Christian stand in his lot and place, catching the inspiration of the work that Christ did for souls while in this world. We need the ardor of the Christian hero, who can endure the seeing of him that is invisible. Our faith is to have a resurrection. The soldiers of the cross are to exert a positive influence for good. Christ says, "He that is not for me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Matthew 12, verse 30. Indifference in the Christian life is a manifest denial of Christ. Should we not see in the world today medical missionaries who in all features of their work are worthy of the name they bear, who aspire to the doing of deeds worthy of valiant soldiers of Christ? We are living near the close of the great conflict, when many souls are to be rescued from the slavery of sin. We are living in a time when to Christ's followers the promise especially belongs, "Lo, I am with you alway." Matthew 28, verse 20. He who commanded light to shine out of darkness, he who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, bids us let our light shine brightly before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. In such rich measure has light been given to God's people that Christ is justified in telling them that they are to be the light of the world. To our physicians and ministers, I send the message, lay hold of the Lord's work as if you believed the truth for this time. Medical missionary workers and workers in the gospel ministry are to be bound together by indissoluble ties. Their work is to be done with freshness and power. And throughout our churches, there is to be a reconversion and a reconsecration to service. Shall we not, in our work in the future, and in the gatherings that we hold, be of one accord? Shall we not wrestle with God in prayer, asking for the Holy Spirit to come into every heart? The presence of Christ manifest among us would cure the leprosy of unbelief that has made our service so weak and inefficient. We need the breath of the divine life breathed into us. We are to be channels through which the Lord can send light and grace to the world. Backsliders are to be reclaimed. We are to put away our sins by confession and repentance, humbling our proud hearts before God. Floods of spiritual power are now to be poured forth upon those prepared to receive it. Let us consecrate ourselves to the proclamation of the message, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Isaiah 40, verse 3. Divine and human instrumentalities are to unite for the accomplishment of one great object. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let him that heareth say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. Daniel 12, verse 3.